Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Starting this managerial search, to find someone that understands where our organization is and where it needs to go, and looking for that strong alignment. It's motivating. That's exciting. And like you said, for a first time general manager, wrapping up his first year, to get this chance is something that is stimulating. It really is. So I view this as a great opportunity for myself and the organization, and look forward to getting that started.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's the voice of Chris Getz. That's back on August 8th when the White Sox general manager talked about the next manager of the team, and lo and behold, finally, Mr. David, here on October 30th, after an exhaustive process, they did interview a lot of people. They have settled on Will Venable. We have a guy that has been in Chicago before. He's a native of San Francisco, lived in Japan with his dad's career, the Dominican, and played at Princeton, played baseball, but started out as a basketball player, was a pretty good basketball player as a high schooler, and he goes to Princeton not just for the education, but because of their basketball history.
Appears, yeah, the reports are the White Sox will announce that Will Venable will be their next manager, whether that comes tomorrow or whenever the World Series ends. We'll see, but we heard Chris Getz coming in, identify the traits he was looking for. It seems that he has found his partner to grow with.
Right.
This is a guy who, in Will Venable, is 42 years old, just turned 42 yesterday, and Chris Getz is 41 years old. They were contemporaries. They were in the league at the same time. Yeah, as you say, Will Venable, bright executive who was brought into the Cub organization. Now he's been on the bench in the dugout. He has learned from Joe Maddon. He has learned from Alex Cora. He has learned from Bruce Bochy. He was hired by Theo Epstein. That's good company to keep. So he comes with credentials. He comes with a resume that's impressive. And I'm looking forward to seeing how he expresses himself, because we know how tough of a job this is now. You said the word exhaustive to describe this search. It is, and it was. It was also likely exhausting, because that's what White Sox baseball has been lately.
Just as a fan watching it unfold?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very tiring.
Yeah.
It's very tiresome.
Listen, it's a good day for the White Sox, whether they can announce it today or not. They need the permission of Major League Baseball to announce a hiring while the World Series is ongoing, and we know the Yankees had a big rout last night, which keeps them alive. The fourth game of the World Series is now got the Yankees on the board. It's still Dodgers 3-1. The Yankees still face elimination, but we'll find out if maybe they're allowed to hire the manager. It'll happen relatively soon if it does, because this series is going to be over pretty soon. But the good news is exactly what you said. You know, if you're Will Venable, you look at him and you're thinking, why would you take this job? Why would you turn down the Mets job? Why would you turn down last year? Why would you turn down other jobs waiting? Again, maybe he thought that he was going to be the Texas Rangers manager when Bruce Bochy called it quits. Bruce still wants to keep going. And maybe it was the idea that he comes with a partner, that he comes to a place where I'm sure they're promising him all the stuff we learned with Jerry's letter at the end of the year, that they're going to change their data collection around. They're going to have
They're going to beef up their analytics.
They're going to do
That's
that.
That's the idea.
And I'm sure
That's the word.
I'm sure they sold him on that idea, that they got a lot of areas to improve in, and he will be the guy that will help Chris Getz put all this stuff in play.
And you referenced what happened last year in the offseason. He declined to interview for the Mets job and the Guardians job because the expectation was that he was the manager in waiting. So I think what the White Sox have done here is that they have, I know it's not a apples to apples comparison, but when you look at other sports leagues and we're in the midst of the NFL season, the name Ben Johnson comes up a lot as the guy who's going to be the next great head coach or the next guy who's going to get a head coaching opportunity.
Did you say the next Bears head coach?
No, I did not.
Oh, I'm
not
sorry.
Yet. That's a different story
not
for another
yet.
Day. But I think when you look at Will Venable, he's been referred to as a manager in waiting and maybe the best available among the bench coaches who interview for such jobs. I want to hear this, and I want to know or learn something about his choices. Did he pick the White Sox over the Marlins, and why?
Yeah. Because down there yesterday, right? Interviewing for that job. Yeah.
Was he given the choice, Miami or Chicago? And he understands what it's like when baseball is good in Chicago. He was with the Cubs in 2017. Yeah. He was on Joe Maddon's bench in 2018 and 2019. So I think he understands what it's like when things are going well and there's excitement. Maybe he can try to replicate that with the White Sox. But I think if he chose the Sox over the Marlins, I would understand that. But I would like to hear him explain it because the job is immense. It's a challenge. And the White Sox, let's face it, as we have this was history's worst baseball season we just endured.
Yeah, we can argue about that if you want to, because technically they had a better winning percentage than that. Well, I'm not
going to
make
I am not going
argument.
To argue that.
It's all empty calories.
I will rephrase it rather than argue it. The White Sox just endured and put us through one of the worst baseball seasons ever.
It was just god awful.
And if you're a young manager, do you really want to inherit that?
Well,
and why?
But let me ask you a question. And we have gone over this, and Joe Ostrowski gave us a relatively good answer, I thought. What are the expectations? You're coming in for your first job as manager, and you're going to do better than the guy that was here. There's very little doubt that if you are making changes and presumably adding to the mix, and I don't know, again, if they're planning on spending much money, but they're going to have to change some things. You're a year removed from the total teardown, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So you should get a bump of some kind with a new manager. If you are 10 games better, does that mean you had a good year? Does that mean you're better? If you are 20 games better, then you still lose 100 games, most likely, but is that pretty good?
So,
is that a good year?
This might sound like a cop-out. If I am Will Venable, I'm coming in here. If I'm Chris Getz, I'm explaining this way. The numbers were evaluated in professional sports by our record. Absolutely, that is true. And it's valid to look at the record. My sense would be there's nowhere to go but up in that context. But what you want to see is a more identifiable way of playing baseball, a commitment to something, whether it's analytics, whether it's fundamentals, whether it's a combination of both. You've got to be clear what you're getting from a Will Venable coached, managed baseball team. I don't think it was obvious with Pedro Grifol. I think we all wanted it to be obvious. We all thought it would be based on the way that he handled his opening press conference. We're going to show up at 7:10 every night and kick your ass. That was he said, right? Remember that? Well, that never happened.
That was a soundbite.
It was a soundbite.
Yeah.
We need to go beyond the soundbites. And I think when you talk about progress and growth in year one, that you want to see competence. You want to see some sort of evidence of his impact, a manager's impact. You might not see it in the standings, but people internally will feel it. And I think that people watching will see it.
You got to see it, though, in the stand. I mean, even if you lose 100 games, you can't be the worst.
Oh, Molly, if you lose 100 games, you're 21 games better.
That's my point.
So there is nowhere to go but up. So is that exciting to a Will Venable? I hope so.
I wonder.
I hope so.
I want to hear from the guy, and I want to hear about exactly what you're saying, what his idea of playing the game is. You know, the good news, if you like good news, he's not connected to the Royals in any way.
Thank you. That's what I mean. When you talk about, all right, let's look at the baseball resume. What names stand out? You know, we're all, okay, say we're from Indeed.com and we're sifting through resumes, right?
Yeah.
And baseball resumes, and we're looking, oh, Pedro Grifol, there's a Royal, there's an ex-Royal, there's another ex-Royal. Oh, hire him. Who says that? So, no, now we're looking at, exactly, Rick Hahn, thank you very much. So you're looking at Will Venable, by the way, and you're like, oh, Theo Epstein, Bruce Bochy, Alex Cora, Joe Maddon.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Let's call this guy. Yeah. Let's talk to this guy. Yeah, his dad was a major leaguer.
Yeah, he's got some good connections.
His brother was a Bear.
His brother was a Bear for a season?
Yes.
I don't remember.
2011.
What was his name?
Winston.
Winston
Venable. Played 12 games for the Bears in 2011.
Wow.
No, that was played for Lovie Smith.
The real sad reality is that I covered that season.
I did too.
That's news to me.
Well, I'm just telling you.
I don't remember the Winston Venable tackle. I don't remember the interception.
Just for the sake of accuracy, he had more than one tackle.
I don't remember it.
Okay, you don't remember it.
Any of them.
He played in 12 games.
I covered too many
games. He had 8 tackles, 5 solos, 3 assists. Yes. Yeah, he was a Bear. So
8-tackle Bear.
At least Will Venable knows that this is a Bears town.
Well, and he's been here himself.
He has been here himself.
So he knows that it's a Cubs town, too.
Okay. I wanted you to say that, not me. Because if I said it, you would have bristled.
When do I ever bristle?
Bristle.
I've never bristled. You. Never.
I think that.
I hold you
also,
in the highest esteem.
What I feel like is interesting about Will Venable, you said it. He played basketball at Princeton.
That's pretty cool.
He was in the NCAA tournament.
You know what's wild? Yeah, he was in the NIT too. I was reading just some of the background stuff. His mom was encouraging him to stick with baseball, and he was a hoopster, and he wanted a hoop. And his mom was kind of like, "Well, don't quit baseball." And then he ends up going to Princeton, not for the education necessarily, but because of
basketball school.
The Pete Carril, whole, Princeton is the great, one of the great basketball schools.
Great
out
tradition.
There. They once beat UCLA.
Yes.
In the NCAA
tournament.
We
remember talking about that.
How incredible is
How
that?
How about the run they went on a couple years ago?
Yeah.
We had fun
they,
with that. Mitch Henderson, the coach.
There you go.
My guy.
And he ends up going there for basketball. And his mom is telling him, well, don't forget about baseball. And his dad was a former major leaguer and talked to the baseball coach. And the guy comes to him and says, hey, if you ever want to come for batting practice, you're welcome. You can come play. And he started playing both sports. So he was mainly a basketball player, wanted to be a basketball player. And it turns out that he played baseball, too, in college and ends up getting drafted in the 7th round of the draft and gets into
baseball. It's a good
baseball.
Move. It's yes, a good move.
It's interesting.
And to think of it, he grew up in California.
San Francisco.
And then he ends up in New Jersey.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been to Princeton. Have you been there? It's not exactly a beautiful area.
Well, Princeton's
I'd rather
Ivy
be
League
in
campus,
San Francisco.
Though. Princeton University is a Ivy League campus.
You think that's breaking news?
Yeah, it's a beautiful campus.
F. Scott Fitzgerald
went
to Princeton.
How are you thumbing your nose at an Ivy League campus Jersey?
I'm just saying I'd rather live in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nicer town.
Well, you love San Francisco. You love San Francisco.
I left my heart there.
I know. But I think it's understandable that he would go across the country to play basketball.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
It's great. He had a major league career, and he knows he played a little bit with the Dodgers, the Padres. He had his career. Now he's going to be the White Sox manager. Now the White Sox have two guys at the top of the hierarchy, Chris Getz and Will Venable,
Princeton
who have both
guy,
played the game.
A Princeton guy and a Michigan man.
Yes, a Michigan man and a Princeton guy. Both very bright, very, I think... They must have a shared vision. They both express themselves. Well, Chris Getz expresses himself very well educated. And I don't remember, this is probably a product of him being just a bench coach or a first base coach, but I don't remember Will Venable being real vocal or having much to say when he was on the Cubs staff. Do you remember anything that he said? Bruce, we'll have to try to catch up with Bruce this morning.
Dustin, you're the resident Cub fan.
Do you remember Will Venable doing anything?
What was his big moment?
I remember he wore 99 as
Did
a number.
Did he really?
He was a first base coach.
Let's hope that changes.
First base coach.
Let's hope that changes.
In honor of Dan Hampton.
Nah, that's baseball, okay?
Honor of Dan Hampton.
We don't need a 99 manager. No. No.
99
that's
managers.
Get off on the wrong foot.
Need a beer on the wall.
No. I don't want
What was his number with the Rangers, David?
I don't know that. Listen, I'm not going to pretend to know.
How about at Princeton?
Will Venable did.
Do you have these answers, the Rangers, or are you just asking questions?
He's just taunting me.
I know.
He's taunting me like he introduced news.
What's a proper baseball number?
I think like 27.
23. Everyone wants to be, you know, Robin.
23 in Chicago.
31.
Sandberg.
31.
Jordan. Yeah.
Something that is not beyond 59.
How often do we actually see the skipper wear proper uniform?
That's where we actually see the
number, right? Usually they wear their three-quarter zip pullover.
Yeah, why do they wear uniforms? There's another question.
Their pajamas, managing in their pajamas.
Should they be wearing, are they going to play in the game? I mean, looks fit enough
these
to
are
play.
Silly questions.
How about
he
a
can
blazer?
Still play. Yeah. A blazer? No. No. It's 162 games. Baseball's a long season.
Got to be comfortable, huh, David?
You got to be comfortable. And I want him to wear a respectable number. I mean.
That's absurd.
Why?
There's just so many problems that you got to deal with. The
last thing I'm worried about with this new manager is what number he will wear on his back.
I'm curious, though.
I can only promise you I will not wear that name or number on my back.
He was number 25 as a major leaguer. He was number 30 with his Texas Rangers stint.
What was your number?
What was my number in
at Ball State?
At Ball State, number four. I was number four.
He has that. I remember on Zoom, I used to see your jersey behind you.
Really?
It's like I went to dinner one time with Coach Ditka. This actually happened, and I turned and I just marveled that I was at dinner with Coach Ditka, and behind him was a giant painting of Coach Ditka. You had that going for yourself.
I did not. I don't think that's accurate. I don't think that's accurate.
You had a caricature of yourself.
Will Venable played 8 years with the Padres, 1 year with the Dodgers, 1 year with the Rangers. Yeah.
That's a career.
967 major league games.
What did he hit?
He was a career. Let's see what he hit. See, that's an interesting. It's an old school ask because you didn't ask me what his career OPS was. You asked me what his career batting average was. And I'm just saying, Burstein's in at 10.
Yeah, there you go. You can get that from him.
He's a career 249 hitter. I'd say 250. Let's round up.
What's his wins above replacement?
What was his WAR? Yeah, that's the question.
What's his exit velo?
Okay, we're not doing that. I'm looking forward to seeing what he has to say and when the Sox are going to introduce him and why he wanted the job.
Those are all good questions.
And what does this mean in terms of what he says in the relation to what they do with Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert Jr.?
Right.
Those are the two biggest questions about the Sox offseason.
What we have heard, the rumor mill or the whatever the whispers are, is that Garrett Crochet is all but traded. He's a guy that
he's gone.
Trade. And that Luis Robert Jr. will be back because you really can't trade him.
He's not.
You're not going to get value.
He's not a guy you want to sell low on.
Yes.
And right now you would be doing that.
Right.
And I wonder if they'll keep him and then flip him at the deadline. Maybe he gets off to a good start. He's got to stay healthy, though, for them to do that.
I wonder if Colson Montgomery will be up this year.
Oh, let's talk about that for a quick second. Colson Montgomery.
I'm happy to. I think that's why I mentioned it.
Did I get excited there? He had a good Arizona Fall League.
That's what I was saying.
And I don't know.
After a bad minor league season, uneven.
Does that outweigh the bad minor league season?
When you have a team that needs anybody, I think it outweighs.
Do you know that he played third base at the Arizona Fall League?
Didn't Ozzie tell us that third base might be his position?
Well, don't tell him that because Colson Montgomery was asked about that apparently in the story that I read, and he said, no, I'm a shortstop. And he apparently has been assured that he will stay at shortstop. I like what the Sox did there. They had a meeting of the minds. They had a Zoom call, I believe, and they told Colson Montgomery, just flush it. Don't worry about what happened at AAA because it was disappointing. Just go out and play. And at the Arizona Fall League, he did that. And the results were very positive.
Well, let's see what he does in training camp. Something to watch other than the new manager. All right. We've got Dan Wiederer is going to join us next. We're going to get into all what will we hear today from the Bears.
Big day for Matt Eberflus.
A big injury list for Matt Eberflus. We'll find out from Dan next. Mully and Haw on the score.